Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Tired of your old tractor crying when it sees a hill? Or coughing more than Uncle Earl in pollen season? Trade up now at Sid's Trading Company. Coyote and TYM tractors so mean, they'd plow a cornfield in reverse. Uphill. Get her did at Sid's. SidsTrading.com.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Good morning. Happy summer, everybody. This is Mark Peaches Patrick, and I'm here on Super Talk setting in for the Garden Mama today. She's on a little hiatus. Good morning, Lance.
How is it going today, my brother? It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Finally. Happy humidity.
Yeah, it's going to be hot.
But it's going to be hot.
We have an absolute wonderful treat for the listeners today because we have a Garden Mama, and she is in the Hamon et Fromage Croissant Studio. McDavid, Will, and the crew. So we have a live Garden Mama on location, a new location. We'll call that it is a Super Talk studio. What's up, Garden Mama?
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is, in fact, the Garden Mama. Wherever I am, it's the Garden Mama show studio.
How are you?
It's not true. The rumor was out there, but it is not true. I am not in Omaha. Can't say I wouldn't like to be. You know, my Tigers are playing it tonight.
Well, they need your help in that Jello Shot Challenge.
I just don't think I'm up to it. I don't think they need my help at all. What are they, 40,000 shots ahead of everybody else? But anyway, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, there is a competition that raises money, and the LSU fans are always happy to outdo everybody else, particularly when it comes to things like Jello shots. So they raise a lot of money for this cause in Omaha, and fortunately, we get to keep rooting for them. I will not be having Jello shots. Thank you. You know, we look pretty good, Mark. This is not bad.
Thank you.
Yeah, I got to get the degaussing, or you're a little ghostly, but I'll figure it out. I don't want to mess it up. We'll get there.
We're almost matching. I had a wardrobe malfunction at the last minute this morning, and it worked out. Guess what? Lance doesn't know about this, but for all the people out there that follow me on social media, and you should. My hiccups went away. Finally.
Well, did you have some?
I thought about you this morning when I woke up. I hope those hiccups leave him alone.
I had them for 3 days.
Oh, man. That was like quagmire.
I mean, my core, I've got a six-pack already. Good, it's amazing.
Good, yeah.
But
it
I'm
just
better.
Made him better. Yeah,
I'm
you're
better.
Just stronger now.
Yeah.
A little Nietzsche.
Yeah. So how's the weather where you are, Garden Mama? Is it as humid as it is here this morning?
It is beyond humid. We were out very early this morning cruising through the plants and making sure that because there's no rain to be expected where I am. So it's just a day to hurry up and water and get back in the house, pull a few weeds and, get in the studio.
So I'm telling
you. It's hot. It's already 80-some-odd degrees where I am.
At this moment, I'm grateful to be in the air conditioning.
Exactly.
I am very grateful. Very grateful.
We really, if we wanted to have a new holiday, y'all, and I'm always after a holiday, I would really like to celebrate the invention of air conditioning.
Yes.
As a national thing.
Key to our development.
There should be a Pulitzer Prize there or something,
I'm sure they got one.
A Medal of Honor.
It's a guy you've never heard of. It's JC Air Conditioner.
Exactly. We have a great text to start off today. Amanda from Pike County has got us a lovely picture of the Old Town Market in Tylertown. That's a sweet place, and she's got some lovely bouquets that she's selling down there this morning. But, we love seeing that. We love hearing from the markets. We love, I always talk about my Two Dog Farm folks. I saw a picture of their what will be at their booth and also at their store in Flora and then in Jackson. The tomatoes as far as you can see.
Yeah.
Just, a table full. Beautiful, beautiful.
I went by Doris Berry's and loaded up the other day.
Oh, of course.
Took Mom by after lunch, and we got a bunch of beautiful corn. I went to the frozen section. I'm like, somebody did the hard work.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat it for them. And then we picked up a slew of tomatoes and got a couple of hibiscus trees and just had a great time. And it's just,
such a nice place.
In and out the time and even in the middle of the day.
It's a lovely place.
It is a very social place.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to run into somebody you know.
Oh, yeah. Or, and you'll probably get to see, I hope her name is Lily. There's children that play there all the time.
Yes.
And they're a hoot. They'll tell you what's good.
There's some characters there. I'll tell you, and you know, one of the great things, Lance, did you notice the table that she has with her recipes on it?
Yeah, those are some good things.
She definitely.
Filled in a community of people that understand how to cook, you know.
Yeah, he probably wasn't looking for recipes, was he?
Probably not.
Yeah, you know, and I've got, I have got a long list of things to talk about today. And
good.
I hope I can touch on all of them.
I'm only hanging in for the first segment. We just wanted to make sure that the studio was set up properly, and we understand that I need better makeup.
I don't know about makeup.
Your color is much better than mine. I look like I died yesterday.
I've got to figure out some echo, too, maybe. I know Claire was giving me an update, so I might deaden you for a second.
Yeah, and while we're sitting here chatting, I'm going to give out the numbers so that everybody, please text, call, send some photos. It is 888-808-8637 is the talk line. And then the text line is 601-879-4395. We love it when you share.
Love.
Love it.
Everywhere I have gone this week, there have been people talking about what's blooming better than they thought it was going to.
Yes.
I attribute all of it to record-setting rain in May.
Yes.
But there are some beautiful flowers out here. Oh, my goodness.
It is amazing.
Gloriosa daisy, just things that you don't always see. Beautiful.
I'm not sure if mine are going to bloom this year because I think I disturbed them maybe at the wrong time, but that's okay. I know where there's plenty more.
They're a little picky. They are.
They are. And, you know, I'm going to have a stepladder to get to the top of the cannas to get a good picture. It's a good thing I have a really good camera on my phone.
Yeah, King Humbert and some of those other ones have literally, where they will be 7 feet tall this year, they're 9 because they got so much water. That's true.
Yeah. I mean, I saw some yesterday that were, I kid you not, 12 feet tall. I mean,
sure. They said, we'll grow. Just leave us alone. Give us water. We'll grow.
I did that with one of my rose bushes, and it's taller than I am now, and it's healthy. It looks amazing. I just kind of said, hey, I'm going to let this one do its thing. It's getting the most appropriate conditions, and it is just really – and I've shaped it over the couple of years, but I've tried to let it grow and grow. And, man, it is pumping out some flowers, too.
Well, this is where you let me give my little bit of preaching, you know. The thing about sustainable gardening, the thing that – The master of the American world of organic gardening, the Rodale folks, the thing that they tested out and proved, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I have known this for 30 years, and I'm happy that some folks also know it. When you put those inputs in at the beginning, when you set up the right conditions for that rose, after a while, you don't really have to do very much.
No.
Because things will begin to take care of themselves. And in your case, Lance, you have found the formula. You know, you found the right spot, the right amount of whatever you gave it, whatever you didn't, you know, all the pruning and the different things. And really, that's a lot of why gardening, I think, is as much an art as it is a science. Because it does happen differently in different places for different folks.
That's a great point, because I have, seven others, and they've been maintained similarly, but they have not near the growth pattern. They'll pump out just a huge number of flowers. They're beautiful too, but for some reason, as I've studied this, it's the sunshine, the conditions, the isolation, it seems a little bit, maybe even some wind that it gets, the others may not. And
there's always something a little different.
Yeah, there's
always something a little different. That's one of the reasons why. So one of the first pieces of advice when folks talk about using native plants in the home landscape is that what you're trying to do is actually reproduce the environment they lived in before. If you take an oak leaf hydrangea, even one that was raised in a nursery, that plant is accustomed to a certain level of shade. You put it in the sun in the center of your front yard, you're going to wonder why you have to water so much. Well, there's the reason for that. You know, you didn't give it what it needed.
Yeah, and the name of the author slips my mind, but that's the book that's been around forever, Right Plant, Right Place.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a good one.
I don't know who wrote that either.
Yeah, it's a good one. And, you know, I have a tendency to make my things a little too mobile. So, folks, when you get things where you want them, try to leave them. Don't be like peaches and decide you got to rearrange the garden every 3 weeks.
Well, and, of course, there are things like peonies that are not going to bloom if you move them.
Yeah, do not move them.
Hostas don't even like to be disturbed that much.
No, and that's another one that is blowing and going this year.
Beautiful.
It's amazing. Our May was perfect for a lot of plants that don't normally perform as well in the South. And this year we got a blessing. A lot of them really did. And I don't know if you've heard me rattling this, Nelly, but look what I brought. I decided I needed to talk about soil moist granules, y'all.
Oh, my goodness.
It is time. It is time. As long as I've been doing this, I never got on this bandwagon. I read about it. I saw it. I never played, experimented. Well, I had the chance a couple of weeks ago. And, folks, if you're into containers like I am and like Nelly is, if you have got pots that need watering all the time, you don't have drip irrigation, and you don't want to water all the time, find you some of the soil moist granules and mix them into your soil. It's amazing.
They were developed for interior scaping.
Right.
In other words, so they could hold water in plants in an atrium in a hotel so that they didn't have to, you know, because you can't make a mess to come through and water all the time. Now, you still have to water the plants. But they really were limited to that world for a long time, and finally they began a number of years ago, but their formulations have gotten so much better.
It is amazing.
I'm still not going to put the because they hold water, you understand, and then they release it when you're not watering and it's too hot. So that's good. That's perfect. But I will say that if you get too much of it and they stay too wet, it's hard to ever get it to dry out again. So it's definitely what I swear I see this working so great for you are these beautiful big containers that are super planted, and they're also standing on the lip of a swimming pool. They're in the concrete,
And that's where
it's a hot world.
Like with my customers, as I use this in their pots, I'm going to have to retrain them on their irrigation, their watering habits.
But it will save so much in the end, both in time and money, if you do it right.
Yeah, so. I'm totally sold on it. It's that time of year. I put just a little bit in one of my pots at home just to play, and I've been rooting stuff in it.
Well, and
it's amazing.
Mark and I always encourage y'all to do that. Try it out. Check something at your place. Let us know how it works.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we can be very surprised, It just looks like a bottle of stuff, and all of a sudden you're thinking, well, wait a minute, let me see what this will do. Yeah,
yeah, and just like anything else you use in the garden, read the directions.
Aw.
They put those on the back for a reason. You know, I know a lot of people are like, oh, if a little does a little good, this stuff might be one you could overdo it.
Oh, yeah, you could.
You definitely could. One of the topics that I mentioned to you the other day that I'm real excited about is it's pack trial season.
Mm-hmm.
And listeners, if you don't know what pack trial, and that's P-A-C-K, that is when everybody in the hort world takes all their new introductions and drops them into these amazing trial gardens. Sadly enough, a lot of which are in California, Ohio, places that are hard to get to.
And you need to plan for next year. You need to start. If you want to go, you just need to start planning. It's a big deal.
And they try out.
They do them in Italy, too, understand. But I've not been to those.
I haven't been to Italy either. And they try out all the new introductions for 2025. Now, I've sent Lance some photos of some of those. And I'm going to forewarn everybody. These new introductions often come out in very small numbers. So it may be 2026 before you can get your hands on them. But now let me tell you, like glow-in-the-dark petunias, they're coming. I know. They're coming, though.
Y'all know I thought that was fake.
It's not.
I thought that was AI.
No.
A reputable horticulturist that I just follow and adore showed hers that were in bloom, and I had to get off of my high horse about
it. It is a thing.
They're real.
Glowing. I mean, and I'm all for it.
I'm a little taken aback by it.
Each his own. Yeah, but there are people out there right now, everybody, that are making the decisions about what you're going to see in the garden centers in the years to come.
Mm-hmm.
And these things are outstanding.
Well, these folks grow everything that they can even imagine would do. Right. And when they sort through all of it after a few years, those the ones that can make it end up in the trial gardens for people like Mark to go and look at and take pictures of. And we always talk about our friend Alan Owings, who has, you know, more packed trial miles than
anybody.
Most anybody.
Anybody.
And he has such good judgment about those things that it's fun to follow him around. But he's looking at an Angelonia that's prettier than anything I've ever seen. I saw some photos of that on his feed. They're not available, but they will be.
They will be.
Another year or so. But and it's just fun to see what scientists are about. It's fun to see what inputs plant people are trying to add, you know, to our gardens. It's really a great way to kind of, it's like getting a new recipe.
It is. You know, and it's like that when you go to market and you see the new trends.
Mm-hmm.
And another one I'm excited about is there is a red petunia coming up that is really, really red.
No.
Yes. Red. And you know it's going to be a tough one.
Well, yeah, it would have to be.
But we really don't need another petunia.
Oh, come on. Yeah, we do. We never have enough petunias.
I am telling you. Hey, we have a text here. Brenda in Clarksdale, she has a huge hydrangea planted in too much shade that doesn't bloom. Can I do anything to help blooming without moving it? Maybe I need to cut back more or fertilize more. Thanks. Well, there's a couple of things there.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that it hasn't gotten too settled in its spot. You know, I saw that in our friend Linda's yard. Mm-hmm. She had some hydrangeas that weren't blooming, and because of her terrain, there was way too much buildup around the base, and they were kind of smothered.
Anything that tried to grow from the base of that plant couldn't, because it couldn't get through all the mulch and stuff that was stacked up underneath it.
Yes.
That is one problem.
Yeah, that is one problem.
You might trim the tree over the hydrangea.
Yes. You know,
get a little more sunlight in there.
As long as it's not a 30-foot oak, you know, if you can do that and give it a little more light.
Exactly.
How do you feel about fertilizers on fertilizing hydrangeas? Do you think it's really all that necessary to fertilize them all the time?
When they're young, I think you need to get them growing real thriftily and sturdily. So, yes. But later on, not so much. You might want to change colors and things.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to sign off. Leave y'all to it.
Well,
I appreciate you being there for me today, Mark.
You're so welcome.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for getting me.
I think the new studio is looking good for
the
Garden Mama.
We'll get this echo figured out, and I think it's awesome. Excellent work down there, guys. Thank you so much, Claire. David, you're the best.
Take care.
All right. We'll be right back with the Garden Mama Show on Super Talk Mississippi. This is Mark Peaches Patrick sitting in for the Garden Mama today, and she just got me warmed up, and I'm real happy about that. We'll see you after these messages.
Running a business is tough. If you're struggling with HR benefits and payroll, you're not alone. Many businesses just don't have the resources to keep up. That's where MWG Employer Services comes in. We provide a full range of employer services with everything from payroll to benefits to HR services and compliance, and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget. We're a Mississippi-based company that can help you focus on what you do best, growing your business. Call MWG Employer Services today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWG Employer Services.
Hey there, homeowners. Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
The best mate.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Mark Peaches Patrick setting in for the Garden Mama, Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi. Oh, wow. I'm so glad she got me warmed up this morning. That was a nice surprise.
She is a professional.
She is.
So she knows how to do this with a blindfold on. And, you know, if she had an ear stopper, she could pull it off. But I want to let you guys know that we're listening on the live stream. We probably had a little echo. I think we figured that out for the next show. And anytime, you know, you're doing something new and getting it all set up, I appreciate you guys being patient with us. It was a good test. And she will look a little less like a ghost as we move forth as well.
Yeah.
We've been acting. Thanks for the text. And thanks for tuning in this morning. And we got Mark Peaches, Patrick, straight back from Cancun. Patrick.
Yeah, I know, right? We were just discussing how my tan, poor Nelly. Yeah. She'll have to work on her makeup. Man, the text line is lighting up this morning, which, you know, I put a call out on social media. Please do this. And I don't know if these people heard it, but apparently somebody did. We have a gentleman that has a Japanese maple. I'm sorry. Oh, David in Madison. And the leaves on his Japanese maple in a pot are curling. I have a couple of questions, David. If you say it's in a pot, and it's curling. With all the rain we have had, it may have gotten too much water. I doubt if you've underwatered it with all the rain we've had. My suggestion might possibly just do a little light pruning of those curled leaves and let it put out. You know, it's going to put out new growth, especially this time of year. And it should recover, but make sure, like you said in the text, make sure the pot is draining. And when you water it really well, but don't water it that much. Japanese maples really don't like to have really wet feet. So that would be my best advice. I would guess it's probably overwatering. That's a major problem after a May like we've had. And then now all of a sudden, the rain's going to stop, apparently. So everybody adjust your watering habits.
Has it been a little cool? I mean,
I'm telling you.
I've enjoyed it. It's been rainy and humid, but the humidity hasn't been where you're, you know, feeling like a wet blanket is wrapped around your head.
The nighttime temperatures have
nighttime
been.
Temps have been, you could wear long sleeves.
I'm a little warm-blooded for that. But
well, when you're burned like you are, your body's just cooking at all times.
But, yeah, it has been pleasant, you know, and there's been a little bit of a breeze every now and then.
Yeah, I think that helps, yeah.
But I hate to tell folks, you know, I've looked at the 10-day, and I think Mother Nature has decided to turn that knob and say.
You've seen the heat index values, right?
I've seen the heat index.
I was reading those yesterday to everybody. All around the state, I mean, you basically had a little window over around West Point where it wasn't going to be just, 406.
Yeah, hydrate, people.
But yes, definitely
sunscreen, hydrate. All right, we're going
to
go on.
I broke a major sweat yesterday, literally, just walking out to the mailbox.
Not hard to do.
I wasn't like getting mail. I just wanted to go, you know, look around and look at the roses on the front and see if I needed to do any pruning. And I was drenched.
That's when you keep that roll of very inexpensive paper towels handy so you can mop away, you know, all the perspiration.
So is there a trick? I know you're out in it. For anybody that Mary Whedon and you yesterday shared a little trick that she has, and I thought it was pretty ingenious, actually. She takes a bandana and wraps up about 8 ice cubes in it.
Puts it around her neck.
And wraps it around her neck. Have you found anything that really works?
Well, you know, there's some cooling towels that you can get,
You knew about those.
And keep those wet, put them around your neck. So, because, you know, the body, if you can keep your neck cool, it really helps a lot, and your wrist react to that also. Cold water on
people
your wrist.
People would always, and when I played baseball, you'd have the ice cubes on the wrist, and that always seemed to cool you down.
It does. It helps a lot. And, you know, hey, if you want to hop on the www and look for some rechargeable neck fans, which I'm really not so sure work that great, there's a million of them
you
out
there.
You
have those that have the mister as well.
Yeah, I know.
They're like hung. Back in the day before you had a phone that people hung like a necklace so they could take pictures of everything, you had the hanging little fan with the mister on it, and it would just mist on you. And the helmet with the two beers. That was good.
They haven't quite got the fashion side of that invention taken care of yet. So
you just got to get Bluetooth ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you got to figure that out.
You got to get Bluetooth ready.
Hey, look at the amazing plant work here on this 662 explained are explained to settled very little much, probably 20 years old, planted up against a brick porch. Look at that.
That is beautiful.
Beautiful backyard. Wow.
I like it. Yes, that is beautiful.
Is that like a flamingo?
It's a crane.
Crane. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Don't confuse flamingos with cranes.
I didn't mean to.
Yeah.
It's not on purpose.
I mean, there's a big difference there.
Yeah.
There is a big difference. And we had a question here about when is the best time to plant and order asparagus in Zone 8? Either the fall or actually winter is going to be the best time. And that's going to be – wait till it cools off would be my suggestion. And probably order a little more than you think because it does take a good bit of time to get established. You're looking at possibly years of waiting for that. Let's see. This is for, I don't have a name here. I have a brand new watermelon sprouting. Is there any chance I can get fruit from it this year? Absolutely.
Those things move quick.
They are fast.
A buddy of mine had some planted on the side of a house and really did very little to it. For most of the growing season, went around there, you know, and there was some beautiful melons all of a sudden. And like, so what is that time period? What are the conditions that are best? His were in a full sun, side of a house. Wasn't anything greatly special done.
No.
But it popped out some beautiful.
Yeah.
They weren't huge. They were, you know, cannonball size.
You know, timing on those, you know, like the Smith County watermelon mm-hmm. guys, you know, the most famous watermelon people in the world, they start planting theirs. Early. But that doesn't mean one still won't produce. So, you know, I would give it a little fertilizer, watch for some blooms, give it plenty of room unless it's a dwarf, you know, one of the smaller. But even though, like Sugar Baby, that plant gets a little bigger than people think it will. You need a pretty good-sized area to do that. I've done it one time, and I got a watermelon about the size of a softball, and I decided I'd go to Doris Berry's and get my watermelon.
Yeah, it's much easier. My family are all from the McGee area, and my grandfather had a stake in a watermelon patch down there, so we always had fresh watermelons rolling around everywhere.
Yeah.
Those things are monstrous. How long does it take, or what are the conditions that make those such a delicacy in the world of watermelons? Why do they get so big? Why are there so
many?
In
Smith County?
Yeah, I mean, there's patches everywhere.
It has to do with the soil down there, absolutely.
What makes it special?
The pH levels, the type of soil it is. You know, because when you get down to Smith County.
You're in the Pine Belt.
Right, and the acidity, you start getting more of rolling hills and wide open spaces, and that's what a watermelon wants.
Okay, well, it's pastoral with a lot of, you know, you'll have a lot of pine trees in that belt. You know, it's pastoral. You got a bunch of open, you know, old cattle and hills.
You know,
that's it, though. I mean, it's as simple as soil.
It's all about, you know, it's geography. You know, I mean, where I grew up in the Ozark Mountains, which Lance loves to play with, tomatoes were the thing.
Okay.
You know, you can grow tomatoes up there just like crazy out in the middle of a field because of the geography, the temperature. They have the cool nights to hold the tomatoes back. Then they have the warm, humid days. And you've got perfect tomato weather.
Can you fake it here?
If
you wanted to create conditions that were better?
People are faking it. You know, there's down around Crystal Springs, you know, world-class tomato growers, which the tomato festival's coming up, y'all. I think it's toward the end of this month.
I haven't found the heirlooms yet. Have you found any?
I've seen a few.
Okay.
I've seen a few.
I've been searching.
Well, you know, Garden Mama has a few, but I think she picked hers. They're probably in her purse.
Yeah, she's not giving those away.
They're probably in her purse.
Blame her.
All right, we have Chris in Forest County. How often do I need to fertilize my apple trees? That's a loaded question. And everybody's going to have a different answer to that. Probably no more than once or twice a year. And try not to over-fertilize them because then you're going to end up with all tree and no fruit. There are, you know, you can get the plant spikes that you put around the trees. Follow the directions. But definitely, you don't want to over-fertilize any kind of fruit-bearing plant by any means. Those are some pretty pots you're showing on those photos, Lance.
Aren't they?
Yeah.
Do you know the person that is responsible for this?
I think I might have planted those
I've
pots.
Seen a few of these in person. They're actually – pictures don't quite do justice to some of the bigger ones, I don't think. I mean, they're beautiful. Don't get me wrong. You've gotten very photog with your abilities, but – when you see one of these in person in front of a house or on that stoop, they're impressive.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, that's what I do at Southern Charm Garden Design. I basically just try to paint a picture in a pot.
And it looks like what my grandmother would have painted on canvas, and you're creating that in a pot. And I'm a big fan. Now, are the things you're seeing in the – since we're in the selling season –
right.
Or buying, if you're looking for a home.
Depending, yes.
Is there something you're seeing right now that is truly kind of trendy and it's working from that staging, the front door, from the curb appeal standpoint? I know you're helping people with that.
Right.
But what are you seeing that's trendy, that's working, the colors, maybe the style, the pots, where, you know, some of these things that maybe you could help those that are out there going, all right, I'm thinking about selling my house. Or what is it they're looking to do to help themselves get the best appeal?
Well, number one, go big or go home. And it's that time of year in the nurseries. Also, you're not seeing little small things anymore. You're going to see 1 gallon, sometimes 10-inch large. If you're trying to do curb appeal, don't go out there with a little bitty plant. Go big.
Go big. Or
go bright. Layering the plants, not just one thing. Sometimes one thing works, but it's usually a little prettier if you kind of layer and have contrasting colors. And then you have to be careful what neighborhood you're in. Sometimes it's just a fern. some neighborhoods it's just a fern. But vinca, sun patience, coleus is a good one. FYI, folks, doesn't matter where you live, deer love coleus, so you have to be careful of that. Because a lot of these urban areas still have deer in them, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, a lot. Which
they
brings
figured out where the good stuff is.
Oh, there's my toad.
Yeah, I like
it. He comes out every night.
You have one?
I have hundreds.
I would imagine your yard has plenty of toads.
That's the only one that I have determined where he lives.
Right.
And I can look for him about 9:30 every night, and here he comes.
My cat, Butterscotch, would have that one eaten. He's a big lizard and toad fan. And then Sunshine's more of the rat and squirrel rabbit cat. He's like a Maine Coon, so
right.
he's big.
Well, that particular toad has gotten smart enough to wait for the 10-pound schnauzer to go to bed. Then he comes out.
They're smart.
Really smart.
Are there any benefits to having frogs in your yard?
Oh my gosh.
So first of all, there aren't snakes if you have frogs. Okay, that's a given. But are there other things that...
The insects.
Okay.
Man,
Do you want to go buy a bunch of tree frogs, or is there certain types that are best for it? I know bats are wonderful for they'll eat up everything. All the mosquitoes. I need to go get a pet bat. Just leave them on my shoulder.
But what
about the frogs?
There is actually an event coming up, and I think it might be here in Jackson at the Natural Science Museum on a Friday. It's a bat workshop.
Now, I need to go. The Birdman has taught me a lot about the bat world over the years, and I really think that that's something that I need to start, kind of planting out in the woods, or bats, because you don't want them close to the house.
No,
but
they're messy.
But in this season, man, I don't care how much spraying you're doing or what. The skeeters are big, and you got those striped ones that look like they got, tiger stripes on them. You're like, what is this?
And look. If you have done like myself and treated some of your lawn with one of those products that says it lasts for 12 weeks for mosquitoes, you can ignore that label at this point. If you're treating, you're probably going to have to treat again. Probably so.
Just spray around the house, have the professional, and it seems to work for a moment. But is there a way? Is there something I could be throwing out an addendum to?
The hangings, like
those things work great for flies, but are they also going
to? Well, they have a mosquito also.
I'll have to go get those.
The trick is
a lifesaver.
You hang them a certain amount of yards from where you are, going to be, and it pulls the mosquitoes away from you. Moving air, of course, we have fans on our little outdoor area, and as long as you can keep the air moving, it kind of keeps them.
I've got some pterodactyl size. Those dudes love the wind. They're like, yes, this is a challenge.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
That's a big one. Okay, let me check this text line. Oh, I hear music already. Well, look, I've got maybe one controversial thing to do with gardening to talk about later, and a whole pile of papers that I need to start going through. So be sure and come right back and join Mark Peaches Patrick on Super Talk Mississippi. We'll be right back after these messages.
From the seed and the soil grows row after row. We take care of this land using just the right amount of our natural resources and never more than we need.
We are only one of thousands, but we are united as one to grow the food, fiber, and shelter you need every day. Because Mississippi needs us. Mississippi needs farmers, the farm families of Mississippi.
Are you a business owner looking for help with HR benefits and payroll? MWG Employer Services offers a wide range of services and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget.
I was so overwhelmed with HR stuff. MWG Employer Services took all the stress out of it and even set up my payroll. I couldn't be happier.
MWG Employer Services is here to help you succeed. Call us today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerServices.com.
Ace Bull.
Well, welcome back. This is Mark Peaches Patrick on Super Talk Mississippi, setting in for the Garden Mama on the Garden Mama Show. Wow, that first hour flew by. Lance, let me bring this up before here at the end of the hour. Oh, and I do also want to thank somebody on the text line. Ortho Home Defense, once a month, works wonders for me, for your mosquitoes.
All right, I'm in.
Okay.
I've used Ortho as a
pest. They've been around forever.
Around the house, but not for the mosquitoes as much.
Yeah, they have home defense.
Give it a try, because I'm going to have to get a second layer of protection this year.
Yeah.
I want to come down with something.
I have some of those bracelets I can bring you. You can put them around your ankles and your wrists.
That's where they get me. I'll go out. If I'm going to sit on the patio most of the time, I'm going to do it with some sleeves and some pants on, even if it's 180, got a nice fan. But the skeeters, even after spraying, are relentless this year.
They are.
I don't know if you've noticed that. I've had seasons where the flies were really bad, like last year.
Well, they are this year, too.
Yeah.
Bugs. Welcome to Mississippi.
Yeah. Now, is there something we need to do to – are they harmful in that way to your plants? If you're out there growing tomatoes and you're growing peppers and you got everything laid out perfectly, but yet you're going, all right, I'm getting eaten up out here. How do we combat that without, making our plants toxic that we're going to be eating? We want it to be as natural as possible, if that's right. Why you're growing your stuff.
Well, there's some organic solutions, and maintenance is the number one solution. Make sure there's no standing water. Mm-hmm. The people don't realize the littlest spot, will start. They'll start breeding immediately. And it can be as simple as a terracotta saucer that's setting over to the side that you don't even realize is full of water. And then all of a sudden it's a breeding ground. And there's always been a lot of PSA about, is that standing water gone? Mm-hmm. Look a little harder. It may be in places you don't even realize it is.
I have some a couple pots that don't have the hole in the bottom that are kind of antique-y, and you sit ferns in them, and I know there's water in those. And so you're telling me that's a no-no, but even a small amount can be a breeding ground.
Well, if a mosquito can get in there, it's too much.
Okay.
That's pretty simple.
I've also noticed some of the softer reddish, I don't know if they're some type of ant, and we've had a couple of listeners that have said the red ants or the ants have been an issue. Again, is that something you're seeing as well? And
a lot
you combat
of
that?
Ants, yes. Ants are everywhere, and especially around a garden. But they're not always fire ants. There's good ants and there's bad ants.
Mm-hmm. Fire ants bad.
Fire ants are bad. Well, then, the needle ant that Nellie and I touched on the other day, I think on the radio, is really bad. But you know, when you're seeing ants in the garden, sometimes they're getting rid of some insects too. So don't panic. But
what do they eat?
Just small insects, bugs, and you know, they can help pollinate. You know, it's all part of the ecosystem. There's a reason why the ants are there. You know, you just want to watch out for the ones that bite.
Yes. And the ladybugs are beneficial, we learned.
Ladybugs are the best. Love them.
So what you're looking for is certain things, I guess.
Yes, yeah, and identifying
the
them.
Identify the right things, see the bad things, and try to find a way to, you know, work in the
It's like when you see a snake, don't automatically go on the defense and say, kill it, kill it, kill it.
Yeah.
You know, educate yourself.
All right, well, we got a great, great text here on the 615. Just moved into a new house. Need help with these. Are these hollies? When can I prune them? How do I remove the new shoots and suckers underneath?
Ah, those are hollies, I believe.
They're pretty holly. They're dark green and healthy. Got a couple of little yellers on there.
Yeah, they've got some new growth on them. You can go ahead and prune those now. It's not a problem.
What are you looking to do, shape them up, or are you trying to take
them
much off?
If you shape them. I mean, it looks like in this particular landscape they're going for a rounded effect, you know. The lower stuff, you just have to kind of get under there and trim it off. And that's going to be a maintenance thing every so often. Because once you cut them, they're going to come back. Make sure you cut at an angle. You know, do your pruning research. And like I said the last time I was on the show, don't cut off more than you can live without.
So, kind of like gambling.
Exactly. You know, don't get carried away. Cut a little bit. Stand back. Take about 10 steps back and make sure you've got the angles you want. And another good rule of thumb is if they're touching each other, leave some space between them. Because when plants planted like that begin to touch each other, that's when insects and diseases move in. You're wanting to basically create air.
I've not noticed a holly like that as much. You see boxwoods a lot in that kind of setting and all that. But as far as a holly, where do you find – I mean, that's a beautiful plant. I love the way it looks.
That looks like it's probably a yaupon. There's so many different ones.
I think I have one in the corner of a yard, but I might want to place a couple older plants that had to get jerked out with something like that. Now, first of all, where do you get them? And two, how fast do they grow? Are they going to be something you want to get big, start big? Or are they going to give me – you know, are they doubling or tripling in a season?
Hollies aren't the fastest shrub in the world. So, you know, if you want impact, go big. You can get them all the way down to a little small 1 gallon pot. In this day and time, that's not as popular as what it used to be. And watch real close because, you know, Lance, there's a lot of people in the world that think they have boxwoods around their house and they're not.
Right.
They're actually a holly. Okay. There is a big difference between the hollies. Go to the local garden centers. You can sometimes find those all the way up to 24, 28 inches in around. So if you need
I like to start big. Yeah, I've had my experiences over the years where I'm like, I kind of want to get the bigger version.
Yeah,
well, and that's for it a little bit and get it.
That has been the trend in horticulture over the last decade or so. It used to be that, you know, everybody bought a 1 gallon azalea and waited for it to grow.
Now, I'm not patient enough for that. Maybe our listeners are. I want now.
There's a lot of different gardeners, you know. Everybody gardens different. We tend to live in a I want it and I want it now world.
You see Alan from Pontotoc, a great little screenshot. Kidding around.
Thank goodness
it's raining again. My mud was getting dehydrated.
That's good.
That's my backyard. One. Yeah, thank you. And plus, when you have a horse dog like Hawk, I mean, he's turned it into the Kentucky Derby back there, dirt track. You
know, yes.
Whew, man. And front yard looks amazing. Yeah. Backyard does not. Yeah, it's depressing.
And James in Oxford, I just want you to know that on Amazon, where it has the subscribe button, I have done that with fly traps. I can't live without the fly traps. Mm-hmm. That's a great product.
Good thing. He says, thank you on the hollies. That is very helpful because I've been looking to replace a few spots, and I love the way those look. Those look great. And then we got my knockout roses need pruning back. Okay to do it now, Greg and Madison.
Yes, please.
Get to
go cut it back. How far can you cut it back? You don't want to get down below the graft. just looking, you know, and I'm hesitant to do this. I would take about half of that plant off.
If you have time, if you're at home and you want to go out and take a picture and send it in, I'll throw it up and we'll have it. Yeah. And he'll be able to give you a little better idea. Yeah. I always have that worry with roses.
I know. And here's another Joe in Madison with his knockouts.
See, that's the way what happened to mine and how it got to be 7 foot tall. I was always like, I don't know if I want to go down any further, you know, and it would just double quickly.
They're way thicker if you'll prune them. And I've discussed this on the air before. It usually takes about 45 days for them to regenerate, you know, new flowers and new growth. So, yeah, go ahead and cut them back. You know, I cut mine back several times during the summer. Several. Wow, and there's music again already. Are we at the top of the hour, Lance?
We're rolling into this,
man. We are rolling. Yeah. All right, everybody. We're going to step away for a minute, pay some bills with some commercials. This is Mark Peaches Patrick setting in for the Garden Mama on Super Talk Mississippi. We'll be back shortly.
We are advocacy, a century of wins, protecting private property rights, advancing technology, sustaining our land, conserving our natural resources, all to pass on to the next generation. We are the Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation, 100 years and counting. Become a member today at msfb.org.
Hey there, homeowners. Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Sometimes and I...
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Garden Mama Show. This is Mark Peaches Patrick, and I am sitting in for Garden Mama today, if you're just joining us. I'm going to go ahead and give out some numbers at the top of the hour. If you'd like to call in, you can call at 888-808-8637. Or the text line is 601-879-4395, which the text line is loaded this morning, which we love. Thank you all. Thank you. Welcome back, Lance.
We are back. Yeah, had a little news segment. Get to go look at the blue sky today. Guys, if y'all haven't been outside yet and you're just waking up, I know it's early for a Saturday. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
It is
a
beautiful day.
In most of the state, I think, so.
It's warm, it's humid, it's sunny.
The shade, though, is nice, I think. If you're standing, I noticed that yesterday. And about midday, I was out in the middle of the sun when I'd been in the shade most of the time. And boy, Heidi, it was a lot hotter.
Yeah.
Man, I felt like I was cooking.
Look, we had this week, you know, we've had so much rain. The entire state, whether you're on the coast or all the way up to the Memphis area, South Haven. I took a nap this week, Lance. I went inside and said, I give up.
Yeah, you can't fight it any longer.
Yeah, and I don't do that. I just needed a little break. Everybody, I want to touch on something. I happen to live in let's call it an urban area with a large lake. We've talked about how this year has been a great tomato season, you know, great vegetable, peaches, all this stuff. It's been a good year for waterfowl also. I've been noticing something that kind of bothers me a little bit. I understand it and I get it. But in the neighborhood I live in, a lot of the baby waterfowl are ending up victims to traffic because people are feeding them. Undomesticated birds, undomesticated reptiles, alligators, you know, you see the signs, please don't feed the alligators. I know everybody thinks they're being nice to the ducks, but the ducks are there for a reason, and they're helping keep the lake cleaned up. And when you feed them and they get too domesticated, they end up getting run over. It's dangerous for the animals. So give some thought to that. Don't necessarily throw what's left of your French fries out there, because when the ducks come running to get them, you never know when the car behind you doesn't really care about running over a duck. That's my controversy for today, and now I'm going to move on to the text line. All right, we have got Marvin in West Point. What's the best time to trim your bridal wreath shrub? Go ahead and do that, Marvin. Once you do, it's going to rebound. So if it's gotten a little too big or out of hand, this would be the time to get it down, because that's going to sprout back out and it's going to bloom on the new growth next year. So I would go ahead and do that. But thanks for your text, Marvin. Who do we have here? Good morning. I am having trouble with a few of my fruit trees turning greenish yellow, especially. What am I doing wrong? It looks a little hungry. I would go with a low dose of something high in nitrogen. You could use an organic high nitrogen base. Don't overdo it. We've had a lot of rain, so any fertilizer that was there, go with a little bit of nitrogen. That is something that's happening everywhere this year. People, things are getting really yellow. Your annuals, you know, shrubs, azaleas, we've had a lot of rain. It's time to fertilize those azaleas. This is a good time. Anything you see turning yellow, give it a little bit of nitrogen-based fertilizer. And, you know, if I can make this rocket science, but in the three numbers, it's the first number.
And that's the one you need.
That's the one you need. And you need the last number. But if that number exceeds 7, 8, well, definitely you don't want to see a 13.
That's high nitrogen.
That's high nitrogen. And, you know, that's...
Is there a cheat sheet for anyone? Because there's always going to be three numbers.
There is.
All right, so you're going to have a mixture of three different things, generally speaking. What's most available to us all.
Right.
Whether co-op or big box. When you're dealing with yard, let's say grass. All the way up to a fruit tree or a tree.
Right.
So we got stuff in between that. What's our methodology here? So starting with the grass.
So grasses. Most grasses, you're going to see 15-0-15 is a real popular one for grass. Okay, that's pretty safe. And that's if you follow label directions. Okay? Because you want your grass to be green and you want it to have strong roots. When you get into blooming things, you're going to start seeing a higher middle number, like a something called a bloom booster, etc. It's going to have a high middle number. You know, and there are hundreds. You know, you can go to any one of the fertilizer manufacturers, and I'm not going to throw names out there, but there's going to be charts and guides on those. And this is another time when it pays to go to a local garden center where you have somebody who's educated on these things, and they can walk you to the fertilizer you need. And if you can't get that kind of help, maybe go to the next local garden center. But those people do, you know, and unfortunately, when you go into a big box store, you're kind of left to your own defenses. I can't tell you how many times I have people stop me in stores. They're like, you look like you know what you're doing, because there is no help. And a lot of times there are charts and guides there at those locations, but you just have to search it out and find it. You know.
All right, we got a question on the phone call. Mr. Steve from north of Hattiesburg gave us a call, and he didn't want to be on the air. He wanted to listen to the recommendations. But his questions were about fall gardening. And, you know, yes. He's getting a head start, and he's curious about the vegetable side of things. When do you get rolling here? When do you start planting, and what do you plant north of Hattiesburg, fall gardening?
North of Hattiesburg? I'm going to tell you a good rule of thumb, and I learned this from a man who is no longer with us that was a horticulture legend, is a horticulture legend. By the end of the first week in September, you should have the majority of your fall planting done and ready. If you're going from seed, things like carrots, beets, etc., lettuce seeds, you can go a little later. I'm basing this on if you're planting plants, you know, transplants. Of course, if you're going from seed and you're one of the people that likes to grow their own starts, you're going to need to start 5 weeks earlier than that. You know, a lot of people, there are people that do, you know, actually start their own seed and grow their own vegetable plants. But around the end of the first week in September. How's that for an answer? That's pretty good, wasn't it?
I like it. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Joe.
No, Steve.
No, Mr. Joe's the man that taught me that.
Joe. Yeah, Mr. Steve received the information. Mr. Joe passed on.
I totally understand not wanting to be on the air. I get it.
All right, we got the pick there on the knockout roses coming in from the 601.
From the 601.
Yeah, and they are getting a little tall.
They are getting a little tall.
A little wrangly.
And I'm not going to go from measurements. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use architecture.
Yeah. You got the window sill there. And
yes.
What would you go up about?
There's the window sill.
Mm-hmm. Would you go to it or go up? Yeah, up front.
I would probably get somewhere between that first line and then that wide line.
So you got your pane. That first pane.
Yeah. It's going to be. No, I'm talking about below the window sill.
I got you.
I'm below the window sill. So that's going to put you cutting them back. Approximately 4 or 5 inches below the windowsill.
Mm-hmm.
Because when that new growth comes up,
then it's going to be right back there to the
windowsill. Yeah.
And how long will it take for that growth once it is pruned back like this? These knockouts, they're pretty tall.
They're fast.
They're up into that second windowsill. Most of them in the first. So if you prune them back that far, how long does our listener have to wait to get the growth they're looking for?
Approximately a month.
Okay.
Yeah. Approximately. Not very long.
Moving. I mean, mine book it. When they get growing, they'll be 6-8 inches in no time.
Yeah.
Look down and like, I just did that.
Well, I had the honor of being in Perennials Magazine back in 2005 or 6 with the man that, you know, started Knockout Roses. And back then, everybody thought they were going to be pretty small. But now that, you know, everybody realizes they've almost gotten as big as, like, they can get as big as some of the Floribunda roses that have been around forever. Take them down pretty good. They'll be back. Don't worry. They will be back. And follow your, you know, recommended pruning. Lance. And thank you for that question. I know you didn't see the front of the Clarion Ledger, but I saw this yesterday and I had to pick it up. Bones of Nightmarish. Extinct whale found in Mississippi.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
A big one. Yeah.
It is huge.
See, I lived in North Mississippi for a long time, and they always, up there, you'd find the big stones that were mollusks and ancient prehistoric, where apparently the ocean had pushed up in some kind of rage, and all this heavy rock and soil and sediment from the bottom was deposited into these hills.
Right.
And it's everywhere, man. I mean, you can find fossils from millions of years ago that are just sitting right there on top of the, you know, on a hilltop.
So if mosquitoes are bad in Mississippi, where do you run into a nightmarish whale? I mean, give me a break. Wow.
Yeah, that's one of the ones. I think Jonah might have been in that one.
Yeah, Jonah. There you go. I have got some events going on. This is a neat one. And this is called Flowers and Pranks. It's in Canton, Mississippi today. It starts at 5:00. You're going to gather flowers at the farm, pick flowers, grab a bite to eat, and participate in nature's activities. Tour the farm and ride a pony. I'm in. Come enjoy a summer evening with flowers. Flowers and Franks. That's up in Canton on 411 Davis Crossing Road.
We're not about a Frank. Not the money.
I think it's a hot dog.
That's a Frank there, not a Frank.
Yeah, this one came across my Facebook feed. Which, yeah, my Facebook feed.
Now, do you get to pick flowers and cut flowers and eat hot dogs?
Looks like they're going to have pony rides.
Hard to beat right there.
That's hard to beat. Let's see. That's Saturday, July 12th. But I'll mention it anyway. St. Andrew's Activity Center, they're having a plant swap coming up in July. That'll be fun. Get on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, check the events page. You know, Nellie kind of has put it on me to keep up with events. And, boy, it's not easy. There's a lot of them.
Or quite a few.
There's quite a few. And I invite you to look me up on social media also. All you got to do is look for Mark Patrick and the word peaches on either Facebook or Instagram. I'm all over it.
Let him know as well. And call into the show, text us. Of the events that we may not know about or some of the smaller, more obscure ones in some of the corners of the state that, you know, are beautiful places. Like Northeast, I know you get up to Iuka and Corinth and those beautiful hills up there around Pickwick. It's amazing. Southwest Mississippi, same way. Totally different growing zones.
Yes.
You got things going on that we'd love to know about.
And, you know, with the algorithms, of course, I get, you know, tons of events show up on my page, but I don't get every corner of the world, unfortunately. It's hard to keep up with. It's fast moving. It's fast moving, fast moving. I believe I've got some other things. Let's, you know what today is, by the way? Do you know what today is?
It's Saturday.
It's National Peaches and Cream Day.
Oh, Lord. Why did we not cover that first?
I mean, how perfect is that? How perfect is that? Let's talk about summer vacation, everybody. Are you ready to go?
I was born ready.
Have you got a plan? Who's going to take care of your flowers? How you're going to keep them watered?
I know somebody that can.
I can do that. You can give me a call.
And this is shameless self-promotion, and you want to know why? Because he is the man, and I've seen the work, and I'll vouch for it. This guy knows what he's doing, and he'll take care of your stuff while you're gone.
It is sad when, you know, people get all this pretty stuff, and then all of a sudden they have a chance to go somewhere, and, you know, a heat index of 100, it may not be so pretty when you get back.
I'll guarantee it won't be.
No.
Without the water?
No.
And the schedule it's been on, it's going to look a lot different. I've had a few of those vacations where you go for 4 or 5 days and come back and go, what happened? Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Well, you know.
There's 20 new cats. You know, there's kittens that have birthed, and there's plants that are dead. And you're like, man, what just happened to my world?
And the worst part about that is by that point in the summer, it's really hard to redo it. It's hard to find things. You know, this year has been a year where we had so much rain in May, people got so far behind, and unfortunately the garden centers are running out of things, and people are having to buy and try new things, which, you know, you need to probably do, because you may not find what you found in April. You're not going to find what you found in April.
I know when we were at Doris Berry's, there was nothing similar to what we saw the day that y'all were over there.
And,
maybe a couple of hibiscus left. That was it. Everything else was gone, you know, because you're in the vegetable selling season and planters coming in, and you got all that going for you. So you just got to shift.
Well, you know, that's when my job gets really challenging is, you know, when the menu shrinks, you know, you go to the garden center the 1st of May, it's packed. You go back now, you have to really search and hunt and find the right plants to go in those containers. So it is challenging. This was a fun one that I saw having to do with weather, you know, and gardening has everything to do with weather. On average, we've talked about this tornado thing. They just put out some statistics, Lance. 72 tornadoes a year on average from 2020 to 2024 in the state of Mississippi. Isn't that crazy?
Man, that's it's like Dorothy. You know.
It's
Wizard of Oz. Almost.
Yeah, it is. It is.
You know we're in Tornado Alley, but I mean,
it
seems to shift a little bit through around
it's,
in
it's
the
moving.
State. Yeah, it moves around.
It's moving.
But
yeah.
It seems to work in that southwest and northeast kind of capacity, whereas in the Midwest, they just seem to kind of come from anywhere. But here we have it's a pattern, but it's destructive. Goodness gracious. And they tear up so much.
One of my personal opinions is, you know, I see, and I don't think it's really opinion. I think it's science. You can look at it however you want. The subtropic area of the coast is slowly making it to central Mississippi. And I think in two decades from now, you're going to see gardening here like you see in on the coast.
That the poles are shifting.
They are shifting. Hold on, everybody. Put on a seatbelt. I don't know how fast they're going to shift. I really don't. Wow, and there's music again. I really want to read this plant serenity prayer, but I don't know if I can do it fast enough to get out of this break. So this is Mark Patrick Peaches, and we'll be right back with the Garden Mama Show on Super Talk Mississippi.
Are you a business owner looking for help with HR benefits and payroll? MWG Employer Services offers a wide range of services and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget.
I was so overwhelmed with HR stuff. MWG Employer Services took all the stress out of it and even set up my payroll. I couldn't be happier.
MWG Employer Services is here to help you succeed. Call us today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerServices.com.
Hey there, homeowners. Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Are the trees and shrubs?
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is Mark Peaches Patrick setting in for the Garden Mama on Super Talk this morning. We're back. Let me give out these numbers just in case somebody wants to get a last-minute text or call in. The call line is 888-808-8637, and the text line is 601-879-4395. It's been pretty busy this morning on the text line. We appreciate that.
Busy time of year.
It is a busy time of year, you know, and you never know if they're gardening or they're, you know, at a cookout or a bike ride. I want to get this serenity prayer in. I borrowed this from a friend of mine on Facebook. This is the gardening serenity prayer. Lord, grant me the serenity to accept that I cannot grow all plants, the patience to wait for my seeds to sprout, and the wisdom to know the best time to sneak zucchini onto porches. I like that. I like that.
There are so many helpful little idioms, as they would say in, you know, the Spanish, like little phrases and things that you have in gardening. Man. They're unlimited, man. I don't know if there's another hobby that has more little one-liners or two-liners or funnies that go along with it. I mean, because you kind of have to take yourself not too serious sometimes.
Right. You do. Gardening. Especially in the gardening world.
Yeah.
You know, if
that's what I mean. In gardening, you better not take yourself too terribly serious in this.
You know, I hate to say this out loud, but I'm going to. I'm not usually too scared to do that. Lance knows that.
Yeah.
You can go in the garden centers and you can be shopping for your things and enjoying yourself. And the ones that are taking it too serious are so obvious. You know what I mean? It's real obvious. But yeah, don't take it too serious. Enjoy it.
Yeah, have fun messing up and cutting it too short and it's kind of like a bad haircut. You know, it'll grow back if you love on it, take care of it. It's not that bad. At least you don't have to go to work every day wearing it. You know, it's just your front yard, right?
Right. Yeah. It's just your front yard. And, you know, it's just your hair.
Yeah. And you don't have to worry about that. Yeah. You got the perfect do for that.
I do have the perfect hairdo for that. It's pretty much waterproof, and by the time you put a layer of 100-proof sunscreen on it.
Well, you said you gave up in the rain the other day, and it must have been a rough day. You know?
It was hot, and I was tired.
I'm done. Too humid, too hot, too much.
I've been running hard since the middle of March.
Is there a moment where, you know, things in the flower world where you better get there and get it?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to be getting flowers for the summer. Yeah. When is that kind of cutoff time?
This morning.
This morning. I love it. Better get there.
You think I'm kidding.
Well, no, I believe you because I've seen, I've gone through a few places, and it's definitely a lot less.
I'm leaving here and headed to a local garden center, actually a sponsor of our show.
Yay.
Yay. Yeah, our friends at Lakeland Yard and Garden. I'm going to be – I shouldn't say this. Everybody might follow me. I hope not. But, yeah, come on. Meet me there. You can help me load the truck.
There you go.
But
you can let them do that for free, too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It is time. You know, if you've got some last-minute stuff, I suggest you get it quickly. Yeah, because, you know, it's a perishable product. It's just like strawberry season ends, watermelon season ends, flower season has an end also.
What are the best perennials as far as flowers? If you obviously you want to keep them in a pot if you want to have something, but if you, I know bulbs, you really don't. I have a bunch of bulbs in different places, but what do you do to keep the color as we go into those fall months? I know there's a few, but like what do you do if you're planning now for that color later?
That's a tricky question. Thanks, Lance.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you look at bloom time, you look at height, you look at longevity, whether it's an annual or a perennial, you know, and you kind of have to put all those things in a bag and shake them up so that one is picking up the slack for the other one. Like, you know, all of my bulbs most of my bulbs are winding down for the year. The ones that I need to leave the foliage, I leave it. The ones I don't need to leave the foliage, I usually personally remove it to make room for my annuals. You know, because, you know, I have one small bed that's not much bigger. And I know y'all can't tell how big this table is, but it's not very large.
About 10 by 6.
Yeah, about 10 by 6. And it is so layered with stuff that I promise you there is not a day in a year you cannot go out there and something's not happening. Even in the dead of winter.
So even with the layering, that's always been a fascination of mine. It's like a great piece of art. You know, somebody's used so many different layers of oil to get that texture and
exactly.
That approach of bringing the viewer in. And I guess that's really what you're trying to do with a layered garden is create that texture. But also what you're telling me is to plant it in a way that seasonally
exactly.
You get what you want as well.
Exactly.
Okay. It's a little tricky.
It is and it isn't. It took me a long time to get it, talking to a lot of experienced gardeners, and not – you don't necessarily get that from the horticulturist. You learn that from your grassroots gardeners, you know, and you know when things are going to bloom. So you kind of time it out so there's always something pretty to see.
And is there something as far as the technique involved with that layering? I mean, how far and how tight do you want to put things depending on what you're looking for? Obviously, you're going to put a lot shorter things in the front, but also if you want something to come
sometimes.
Back. Yeah, sometime, maybe not.
Maybe not.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, because I tend to – that particular garden I'm talking about, I tend to plant for myself and for my neighbors.
Well,
I want it to look good. It's a 360 bed, mm-hmm. What we call a 360 bed. So you want to be able to walk all the way around it. But another – key thing is not to overcrowd it because then it just becomes muddy. And that's where the gardening, you know, the dividing plants, sharing plants, transplanting things, you know, you have to do that as a maintenance or else all of a sudden it just all grows together and it's nothing. You know, it's you kind of carve your way through. Does that make sense?
As you say, it's maintenance.
Yeah, and you just go through and you meander through, kind of like you're meandering through the crowd at the Dollar General on a Saturday afternoon. You just make a little trail.
Right. Just pull pieces.
And sometimes it's 8 inches wide, mm-hmm. depending on the plant. Sometimes it's 2 feet.
Okay. So it's not like a perfect circle.
And
that's the, I guess, misconception is there's this perfect concentric ring that you're doing.
Right.
No, not necessarily. Right?
No, you know, in a commercial landscape, of course, you want everything lined and rowed so that as you drive by, you get the, you know, what I call the 40 mile an hour effect.
Yeah.
It's just pretty in a flash. Mm-hmm. But in a small cottagey garden, you want it to be a little more artistic.
Engaging and artistic.
Yeah.
And unique.
And that's the fun of being able to do that in a container.
Well, we have one of our listeners, Mike Mike says, hey, my hummingbirds are fewer this year. Same amount of feeders, but birds are half of the usual that are normally here. Any idea what's going on?
You know,
I haven't seen hardly any yet. And normally I've seen 5 or 10 that buzz me.
I haven't seen a lot either. You know, I mean, it nature, Mother Nature. You know, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, but maybe your neighbor got prettier feeders. I'm not sure. But I have not heard a lot of bragging about hummingbirds this year. You know, it's probably something to do
with climate. It says that fewer hummingbirds this year could be due to a variety of factors, including natural migration patterns, changes in local food availability, or even the effects of climate, which it's been super wet, you know, and a little cooler. Maybe is because I know that they really enjoy buzz in the tower when they're around. They love playing, and I just haven't seen them.
Well, you know, believe it or not, we don't ever have very many.
Well, and the ladies over here had put out some plants in the courtyard in front of their window probably a month or two ago and hung a hummingbird feeder, and whenever I do catch them, it's like, how's it going? Well, we haven't seen a hummingbird yet. So I don't think it's isolated to just where you are, Mike. I think it's more of a regional issue.
It is got to be. You know, and everything is offset a little bit this year, too.
Yeah.
We had our spring rains in May instead of April. So who knows? Maybe they decided to hang out at the beach until our weather cleared
that's
up.
That's what I'm thinking is that they'll probably be buzzing
a little later
at some point. May not have them quite as long, but have the feeders ready because they need their nutrients and vitamins.
So we have John in Florence, and he is asking, did I prune my pear tree too much or what? It's really hard for me to tell. It looks like you gave it a pretty good cutting. You've got a little dead left up in there. It's going to rebound. You know, you might have went a little too severe, but that tree does look pretty large just based on the photo. So, you know, like I said before, don't cut off more than you can live without. But it'll come back. You'll be fine. It'll be fine. Let's see what else we got going on here. All right. Well, I'm going to bounce over here to something I mentioned earlier, the pack trial situation. And there's one of the flowers right there that I'm about to talk about. That is a new petunia for 2026 that is called Petunia Pink Cloud. It looks like a good one, a really good one. And another one that I saw, another petunia coming up, is going to be called Glacier Sky. And if the photo pops up, and I'm not sure if it will, it's a white double petunia with kind of a starry purple run through it. There's the toad. Okay, let's go on to another piece of paper. I told Lance I needed to get rid of these pieces of paper, and this is going to be a shout-out to the Extension Service, Mississippi State Extension Service. Okay, this is their June checklist, but I think right now we have enough time in June. You can get all of this done. Lance just touched on this. Daylilies. You can still plant daylilies. You can divide daylilies. It's time. Some of those bulbs, if you need to move them, thin them, this is the best time to do it. The very best time. Plant warm season grasses. It's lawn time. If you need to put out sod, you want to seed. The soil temperatures are perfect for that now. And with all the rain, keep your eyes peeled for fungus. Definitely, you're going to start seeing brown spot, fairy ring. There is a whole litany of things you'll see with all this moisture in the grasses. So keep an eye out for those. This is when you start scouting for bugs. Everybody, if you have Asclepias, milkweed, you're going to see aphids on it. There's little yellow aphids. They usually cluster at the top. I know people that blow them off with a water hose, brush them off. They're going to be there. That plant, they love that plant. They absolutely love it. Here we go again. Fertilize your ornamental shrubs. It's time to do it. Get out there and be easy, but get your fertilizer out. It is definitely time. And John is back. What is happening? John, that could be the beginning of some blight. There's a fire blight. I would suggest that if you want to do a preventative on it, there are some chemicals available at the local garden centers specifically for fire blight and those type of things. So it's possible, but it's really hard for me to tell from the photo. If you live near a garden center, or if you're in Brandon, you could probably even go to the co-op. Somebody there might be able to show you or identify it, or go see our friends at Lakeland Yard and Garden. It's really hard to tell from the picture. So I'm going to take a second, do a little more shameless self-promotion, Lance.
Bring it on, heated pool.
If you're not familiar with me by now, and I hope you are, I have a garden design service where I mainly do large containers, consulting, etc. I also do design work. If you need pots rearranging, you need an outdoor space fixed up, I can pretty much touch on all of them. And I don't often do this, but I'm going to give my number out on the air. My personal number is 601-832-3940, or you can find me on Facebook, Mark Peaches Patrick.
If people have questions about the vegetable side of things and they're wanting to grow more and they want to have a beautiful garden and potted plants and all those things, can you have a little add-on?
I do.
Come in and say, hey, you got space to do these things, son, this, that, and the other. These are the right spots for it.
I did a beautiful kitchen garden last Thursday or Wednesday in a space that does not look like it needed would be a spot for a kitchen garden.
Yeah.
But it turned out beautiful.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. You got to use your space so wisely, especially the conditions, the sun, where everything is. And,
that
has a lot of impact on the ability to put it in, get the yield you're looking for.
And so many people have outdoor kitchens now. So why not have a kitchen garden? Why not? Well, here we got music again. And I'm going to come back and catch up with hopefully Laura from Flora and Joe when we get back. After these messages, this is Mark Peaches Patrick sitting in for the Garden Mama on Super Talk Mississippi, and we'll be right back.
A business is tough. If you're struggling with HR benefits and payroll, you're not alone. Many businesses just don't have the resources to keep up. That's where MWG Employer Services comes in. We provide a full range of employer services with everything from payroll to benefits to HR services and compliance, and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget. We're a Mississippi-based company that can help you focus on what you do best, growing your business. Call MWG Employer Services today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerServices.com.
Hey there, homeowners. Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You did
the best.
Well, let it rain, let it fall, let it rain a whole lot more, because I got them big.
I had to do it, man. I was just kidding.
Wow.
Figured you'd get that.
Thank you.
Let the waves make the shore, because
Wow. Welcome back, everybody. What you may not know is when I come in to set in for Nelly, or if I'm here with Nelly, I never know what Lance is going to play. So when we come back from commercials, it's a surprise to me, too. And that was a good one, Lance. Thank you for that.
Yeah. I figured that was a way to go out for you.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
It's almost like it's karma. If you ask for it, maybe it won't come.
Right, right.
Start saying, "Oh, that won't happen." Then you're
rain. Yeah,
so it was just kind of mind games with weather.
I'm gonna have to work on wrapping my mind around dehydrating mud.
Yes, I love that.
That's a great concept. Great concept.
Yeah, needed more rain. My mud was getting dehydrated.
Yeah.
I know how you feel. Goodness.
And, you know, it wouldn't be Mama's Away if I didn't get one bad joke in, right?
Bring it on.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of bird is at every meal? You have no idea, do
no,
you?
No, I don't have this one.
You ready?
Yeah, bring it on.
A swallow.
A swallow.
Yeah, that was bad, wasn't it? That was bad. Here. That was bad. But everybody, welcome back to the Garden Mama Show. This is Mark Peaches Patrick sitting in for the Garden Mama.
We got us a good pear tree question. John in Florence.
I talked to John.
You got
about
that one already.
Pear tree.
And I was doing, you were, what is when you see that kind of one dead branch?
Well, he had pruned it and was concerned about how much he pruned it, and it could just be from the pruning, but that also looks like what can be like fire blight that gets into pears and things. Maybe it's probably not. It may just be from the pruning, but I would check it out.
That shake and feed stuff from
You know, you could use that on flower on shrubs, but it's not going to be very economical. It's not really designed for shrubs. But yes, you can use
it. The juice seems to be pretty good. Like that stuff you have in the, it looks like a Coke bottle and you put
the
it
liquid.
In the liquid.
Yeah, but that's like a cup of espresso. It doesn't hang around very long.
Yeah.
You know,
I wanted to parlay that question on that.
Yeah,
I've
exactly
used that stuff a lot over the years, but is it, you know, it seems to me like you have to really, really use it a lot.
Well,
you know, because it does, like you said, does it just eat it up fast or does it run off or doesn't get absorbed?
No, it goes, it's foliar feeds. I mean, and you know, you don't have to water the plant with the liquids, that liquid, you know, Miracle-Gro, whatever in the thing. You can just get it on the foliage. And I do use it.
Okay, so I didn't know that.
Where I normally will use, you know, some granular or other types of fertilizers and then come in with that. But you know what? Peaches does, heated pool Patrick does with that.
What's that?
About 3 or 4 weeks before company's coming, about twice a week you go out there and slap that to it. That way everything's really lush when they get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the way you can really spread.
Yeah.
Again, we're in that season
that
where
is,
people are going to be putting those houses on the market. And
that is called strategic fertilizing is what that's called.
Economically strategic fertilizing.
Economically strategic. And make sure the dog's in the house because you don't want to Miracle-Gro the dog.
Mm-hmm.
As with every other chemical.
Yeah.
Make sure they're in the house. Wow. What a fun show it's been today. You know, we talked about it being National Peaches and Cream Day, but there's several others, you know.
There are always several others, right.
National Seashell Day.
Yeah.
How about that?
Can you do that? What is it, the saying? The
Sally
sells seashells
by
the seashore?
No, I can't. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to pass that.
That's like when you're warming up at 5:30 in the morning to go on air.
Yeah. And here, I'm going to put this one out there because, you know, Nellie will be back next week. Hey, gardeners, it's National Selfie Day. Let's have a garden selfie contest and see how many fun garden selfies. Lance?
Exactly.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, Peaches and Cream. You have National Selfie Day. You got Go Skateboarding Day. So, yeah, if you are 50 plus and you haven't skateboarded since you were 15, please try to take a selfie
while you're skateboarding.
Please
running
send
off
that to us this week. We will post it for you.
And try not to hit a conch shell.
The other thing that you get to celebrate is, so if you are drinking Lambrusco all day and you get on the skateboard, make sure to take a selfie.
And it's smoothie day.
Yeah, smoothies, too. So, yeah, pull all that together and send us a photo of your funnest Saturday adventure.
But please don't make them be from the ER.
Yeah, no. Yeah, we want to skateboard off into the pool or something. Yeah, not into the, you know, concrete ground. But if you do have some fun ones, let us know. But Lambrusco, I mean, I need to run by the...
I'm not a Lambrusco. No, I'll pass on that.
I don't know what it is. I mean, I'm drinking a lot of wine. I'll have to pull up what is Lambrusco.
Yeah.
I know it's an Italian wine, but.
I'm not even going to go there.
Mm-mm.
And Laura, you're welcome, but yeah, go ahead and use your shake and feed up.
Yeah, Lambrusco's color may be salmon pink. That's the one I thought it was.
Yeah.
I just didn't. There's a lot of table wines you'd see back in the old days. So I'm
going
to get me a little pinky rosé-y Lambrusco and bring out my more heated pool side.
Your heated pool side.
Go sit by the pool and sip and enjoy. I didn't get an invitation, though, so.
There's going to be another. It's going to have to be another one pretty soon. There's that red petunia.
What a beauty.
Isn't it pretty? Yeah. Petunia Inferno, the red. I want to be the guy that gets to make up the names for all these.
You need to start
plants.
Splicing some stuff together and just create your own.
Like, you know,
has anybody ever done a rainbow one where you could just splice it all and or you get the perfect
rainbow? There probably
rainbow?
Is one. You know,
it's not colored like you buy in the groceries and stuff where somebody, you know, it's not real. I mean,
you're
dipped in something.
You know, you can get out there in the AI world now, and there are pompous grasses that, folks, they don't look like that.
No, but they do on that. AI image.
Yeah, I mean.
How hard is it, though, to, you know, splice and or let's say to work with a seed and try to glue
it takes,
them
together? Well, they cross-pollinate is basically what they do, and it takes forever.
You saw that crazy photo we had, what, 2 weeks ago, maybe three of the – it was a two different trees.
Spliced together.
Spliced together,
yeah.
Which was – I was like, wow, I didn't even know you could do that.
You can do it, you know, and I mean – the success rate of those things has gotten way better, but the survival rate of those things is not always the best. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, you can make it happen, but they don't last.
You can make a lot of things happen, and then they don't last.
Like a cloned sheep or something. They look just like a sheep, but they're probably not going to have the lifespan.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah,
and that's similar with what you're dealing with in plants. I guess nature has a way of.
Yeah, they do that.
Having
its
own code of things.
Like, you know, daylily breeders. Mm-hmm. You know, some of those people have worked years and years and years and years and years just to get one color.
Yeah.
You know, and then.
It's amazing to me how you see all the stripes and the different things on many different flowers. And you're going, somebody really had to work on that. Or did nature just do that?
Sometimes nature does it. Sometimes, you know.
But do you ever really know it? Can you look at it and go, yeah, that's human?
The people that follow it real close do, you know. And like I'm doing some trials at the house on some soil and doing it in a very scientific, you know, way. But now these people are in laboratories, you know. I've been in those laboratories, and they make you put on white paper. They make you walk through alcohol to get into the room. Mm-hmm. Some of the rooms they won't let you in. Because they don't want you to steal their genetics.
Ah.
And, you know.
No folds in the, no pockets, no folds.
No cameras. I mean, literally. And it's pretty crazy. University of Ohio in Columbus, mm-hmm. Ohio.
Ohio State University.
The Ohio, right by Buckeye Stadium. They have a climate controlled building full of heirloom seeds and things. And if some of those ever got lost, the strains to the things we see today might be lost forever.
It's been fun, buddy.
That's pretty serious. Are we out of here already?
Yeah.
Wow. Thanks, everybody, for your calls, your support. Nellie will be back next week. I'll be back soon, I hope. Everybody have a great weekend. Stay cool. Hydrate. We'll see you next time. This is Mark Peaches Patrick.
And contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
Hey there, homeowners. Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Mississippi farmers raise over 800,000 head of cattle each year. We take care of our livestock so you get what's good for your family on your table. We are only one of thousands, but we are united as one to grow the food, fiber, and shelter you need every day. Mississippi needs farmers. The farm families of Mississippi.
For a flipping good time.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.